Lines of an old hymn describe life pretty much as it is. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright. Sometimes in the valley in the darkest of night. But the secret is in the title. God leads us along. Yes, in both directions. And the options never change. To grow better or to grow bitter. Jesus took Peter and James and John to the mountaintop where he showed them some of his celestial glory. It was another world that dazzled and blinded them. They couldn't discern the meaning, but they wanted never again to leave those heights of privilege and those spasms of rapture. Well, don't we all want to live there? But Jesus led them down again into the valley. For Jesus was a descender. He came to serve and to give his life. He saw that the great people are not those who are being served, but those who serve. He understood well how you can get dizzy amid the applause of the populace. He wanted to keep this experience under wraps for a while. Jesus brings us to epiphany moments in life that are full of revelation, but that carry a greater purpose and destiny. As you'll later find in this broadcast, when Pastor Fred Penny brings a message from that mountaintop experience, a defining moment in God's presence. It's the old, old story, and we welcome you again. Yes, there is revelation for every searching soul. It quells a thousand whys. It speaks to human frustration and suffering. It points us to that middle cross that says, I care about you, that says, you matter to God. I want to remind you again, if you wish to listen or re-listen or invite another to listen, just log on anytime to VOCM.com. Hit the link that says Shows, then Weekends on VOCM, and right there you can access any broadcast that goes back about 3 months. That's on VOCM.com. Here's what the Word says to you today. Let your request be made known, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Heaven moves toward you with that offer now, and we'll stand with you as the Word of God tells us to if you call us 579-9678. A running theme throughout recent weeks on the broadcast has been the centrality of Christ. In 1980, a man from Rwanda, Africa, was forced by his tribe to either renounce Christ or face certain death. He refused to renounce Christ. He was killed on the spot. The night before, he had written the commitment that was found in his room. It was this: "I'm part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision is made. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed, my present makes sense, and my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, chintzy giving, dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence or prosperity or position or promotions, platitudes or popularity. I live by his presence, lean by faith, love by patience, lifted by prayer, and labor by love. My pace is set, my goal is fast. My goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions few, but my guide is reliable, and my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, diluted, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, or negotiate at the table of the enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I will go till he comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till he calls me. And when he comes to get his own, he will have no problem recognizing me. My colors will be clear. I am a disciple of Jesus.
I will serve.
In a moment, Pastor Fred Penny will come with his message for today, a defining moment in God's presence. So many have given testimony of a time in life when something happened, some revelation, came at just the right time. Because, friend, he knows what you need and when you need it. And the song says, he brings times of refreshing. The setting for today's message sounds like a scene from some mystery novel. But no, it happened in the presence of corroborating witnesses. Jesus allowed his humanity to be partly suspended to teach us something. Well, to teach us a lot, really. Pastor Fred Penny comes now with his message, A Defining Moment in God's Presence.
Good morning, Radio Church. It's time for another chapter in the old, old story, the story that never gets old. It's the story of Jesus and his love. Today, I want to talk about a defining moment in God's presence. I'll be reading in a moment from Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Before I read, I want to share a story with you. It was 1979. I was 20 years old, and it was in many ways the worst day of my life. I was working in an accounting firm as part of my university training, on the road to becoming an accountant, or so I thought. My last day on the job, my boss called me in for an end-of-term evaluation. I had been there for 4 months, learning about the accounting business, and he informed me that I had failed to meet expectations, and he would be recommending to the university that I repeat the term. I had failed to perform in my work assignment. I was devastated. It was the very worst day of my life. I was angry. I was confused. I was depressed and even ashamed. I went back to my place, packed my things to drive home, and as I was preparing for that four-hour drive along the lonely highway, in a moment of sadness and reflection, I turned to the Bible. I flipped it open to the Gospel of Mark, and I read a few verses, and one verse hit me between the eyes. Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." That was a defining moment for those disciples. And as I look back now, that experience was a defining moment in my life. I felt God calling me. We all have defining moments in our lives. History has defining moments. Countries have defining moments. And Peter also had a defining moment. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, beginning in verse 2. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anything in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no longer anyone with them except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. This was a defining moment in their lives. There are defining moments in each of our lives. A moment when you feel strongly convinced of something, that you love someone enough to marry them. Or you witness the birth of a baby and you say, "Now I know there is a God." And you look at the creation of God. These are powerful moments, powerful experiences in life. Peter, James, and John were invited by Jesus to go up onto this mountain. They went up there to pray. And in the Bible, mountains are places of revelation. And so now Peter, James, and John go up on this mountain, and it's a indicator that there is a revelation coming. And so on this mountain, they have a surprise waiting for them. Jesus has his appearance change. His clothes becomes whiter than any bleach could bleach them. And Moses and Elijah appears with him. Now you may ask, well, why Moses and Elijah? Why not Abraham or David or Daniel or Isaiah? Well, Moses represents the law. He is the leader of the Exodus from Egypt. And Elijah represents the prophets. It is expected from the Old Testament that someone would come back in the spirit and power of Elijah as a prophetic voice. And in fact, John the Baptist was seen as this Elijah figure. So then we have the two great symbols of the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, here on the mountaintop with Jesus and Peter, James, and John. Moses and Elijah and Jesus have a conversation. They talk about Jesus' departure, which he is about to accomplish at Jerusalem. This word departure speaks actually in the Greek language of Jesus' exodus, because Jesus is a new Moses who is going to lead us out of the slavery of sin. And Jesus is going to set us free. And there on the mountain, Jesus is transfigured. This word means change. And Jesus shows now his divinity. He becomes glorious. His humanity kind of fades to the background, and his divinity comes to the foreground. We understand that Jesus Christ is God incarnate. He is fully God and fully human. But while on earth, he restrains himself in the exercise of his divine power, and he works and lives and carries on his ministry in human form and with human limitations. But now, on the mountain, the humanity of Jesus fades to the background, and the glory and the divinity of Jesus come to the foreground. Peter, James, and John represent the inner circle of Jesus' 12 disciples. These three will become key leaders after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. And they need their faith in Christ strengthened again and again. For them, this is going to be a defining moment, a moment of revelation. You see, for many people, seeing is believing. Many of us are visually oriented, which means multimedia, sight, and sound create visual images in our minds. And this is what happens on the Mount of Transfiguration. Only this is not an image. This is not virtual reality. This is reality in the greatest sense of the word. And now, while on the mountain, they see a cloud and they hear a voice. Cloud reminds us of the cloud that followed Israel in the wilderness. It is a symbol of God's presence. And the voice, of course, is unmistakable. The Father spoke to them about his Son. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." All of this adds up to a pretty incredible event. Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, a radiating witness that is beyond compare. And now, the actual voice of the Father speaking, "This is my Son. Listen to him." Just as at the baptism, we have here the affirmation from heaven to the disciples, endorsing and affirming Jesus and his ministry. You might ask, how do we know it was God's voice? Let's just say, even if you've never heard God's voice before, when you hear it, you will know it's God's voice. And so the Father has an encouraging word now for these three disciples. Hear him. Listen to him. Follow him. Have you ever had a dramatic spiritual experience? I've heard people in church share their stories. I've had some of my own. Some see a vision of Jesus. Others hear his voice. And God speaks a word of healing. God calls people to repentance. God sends a miracle. You see, God is still speaking today. God is still moving today. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Some of us may crave a wonderful spiritual experience, but only God can choose the time and place. And sometimes we may be envious of others and their experience. Well, the point is not so much if God will reveal himself to you. It's only a matter of where and when and how, and if you and I will receive his revelation. That's why the Father said to these three, "Listen to him, hear him." He didn't want the moment lost to their dullness of hearing. Now, Peter, of course, you might imagine it would be Peter who would speak up. Peter needed to say something. And so he said, "Let's build a monument here. Let's do something to remember this amazing experience." It seems people have been making monuments ever since. Sometimes people are collecting wood from Noah's Ark, or they honor the Shroud of Turin, which is supposedly the burial garment that was on Jesus. But when Peter suggests building a monument or some way of remembering this event, Jesus seems to ignore him and moves on to things that are more important. Jesus wants to teach these three disciples who he is. They want them to see his glory, and he wants their faith strong and deep to endure the challenges that lie before them. I guess Peter wanted to hold on to the moment, but Jesus didn't want him to hold on to the moment. Jesus wanted Peter to hold on to Jesus. You know, we can't stay on the mountain. Life is not lived on the mountaintop. The air is too thin. You can't grow things on the mountaintop. It's in the valley where things grow. That's where the nutrients of the soil will collect, and that's where the water runs. And now, here on the Mount of Transfiguration, Elijah and Moses fade out. And now the focus is on Jesus, and only Jesus. Now, this is a dramatic statement about the identity and person of Jesus. See, Peter's mistake was to say, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah are three people that we should honor, and we should honor them equally. Peter was putting Moses and Elijah, in fact, on an equal footing with Jesus. But what happens in this dramatic moment is Moses and Elijah fade away, and Jesus is now alone and at the center of focus. You see, Moses represents the law, Elijah represents the prophets, and they were preparing for the coming of the Messiah. They were not the Messiah, they were preparing the way. And now we see Jesus, and we see here a dramatic demonstration of the uniqueness of Jesus. This passage shows us that Jesus is unique. He has no equal. He has no equal in the Bible, and he has no equal in history. He has no equal even in other religions. Jesus is the unique Son of God, and that's why the Father says, "This is my Son. Listen to him." The centrality of Jesus to the gospel and the uniqueness of Jesus to salvation is the point being made here. Listen to these words from the book of Hebrews. Holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. But Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. Peter was an eyewitness to the majesty of our Lord Jesus Christ. I find it quite fascinating that Jesus tells these three disciples to keep this experience quiet. Don't tell anyone until after I rise from the dead. I wonder why. Should we not share the good news? May it spark faith in some people? But for some reason, Jesus felt it was not the time to share this story yet. Not even with the 12. It was a private experience, a special time alone with the Lord. We also have those intimate moments with the Lord that may not be for public consumption, when it's only Jesus and you. Suddenly, they looked at themselves and they saw no one but only Jesus. You and I need those intimate encounters with him as well. In spite of this spiritual high, this spiritual encounter, Peter still seemed a little confused. He later denied even knowing Jesus. Imagine having been with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, having seen Jesus do miracles, feeding the 5,000, yet when the pressure is on Peter, he still crumbles and denies even knowing Jesus. You see, we all need encouragement. We all need to see our faith grow deeper and stronger. Have you ever had a defining moment with Christ? Peter had a story to tell. And later in the New Testament, Peter recalls this experience. His letter called 2 Peter, and we find it in chapter 1, verse 16. Listen to the words of Peter here. He says, "For we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" Peter says, "We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." You see what happened there? Peter says, we heard it ourselves. We were with him on that holy and sacred mountain. And the gospel we preach is not a cleverly invented story, but we are eyewitnesses to the majesty and glory and power of our Lord Jesus Christ. We also can be eyewitnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ. We also can tell people the good news of the gospel. I would encourage you today to read over this story in Mark chapter 9. The story has now been recorded in the Gospels for us all to benefit from. And the Father says to us today, Jesus is my Son. Listen to him. Hear him. Don't listen to how the world tells you to follow other ways, but listen to Jesus. Open your eyes and your ears to him. And we also can have our faith deepened and strengthened. Have you had a personal encounter with Jesus? Have you seen his glory? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you worship Jesus? Today, I invite you to open your heart and mind to Christ and to see him in all of his glory, to read the Gospels, to read the story of the New Testament, and open your heart to Christ. The Bible says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you can call on him in prayer and say, Lord Jesus, show yourself to me. If you're real, show yourself to me. And I believe he will. And one of the ways he shows himself to us is in the Bible. He also shows himself to us in the created world and the beauty of this world. In spite of the corruption and the sin and the evil in this world, we can still see the glory and beauty of God, our Creator. And so I invite you today to open your heart to Christ, put your faith in him, and listen to his voice. And may you also have a defining moment when you encounter Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
You've been tuned to The Old, Old Story, and we thank you for being with us this past 30 minutes. Your request for prayer today is both a step of faith and an acknowledgement of the power of the gospel and who Jesus is. 579-9678 is the number. That's 579-9678. We'll be on a call with heaven today, and we want to include you. Without Jesus, life is nothing but a phantom. If I mean nothing to God, then what does anything mean to me? But if he cares, and he does, everything else has meaning. The moment you meet Jesus, friend, is a moment of grandeur. The hour is bright with revelation, but doubt will rob you. There's no song or promise for the unbeliever. You look forever in the empty chasm of your own soul. So let this be your pursuit today. Revelation of Jesus. You won't be disappointed. You'll find that life has meaning. There are answers. So start your journey toward that discovery now. A staff of angels are standing by to help you. Grace is being dispensed from an unlimited supply because God wants you forever. So it should be no surprise that he will make his grace always sufficient for you.